Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is doing well. I know things are still very tough for a lot of us out there. This pandemic is still raging, everyone, so you got to be careful. If you're choosing to get the vaccination, I suggest that you go ahead and try to get it as soon as you possibly can, as soon as you are eligible to get it. Unfortunately, we are approaching over 500,000 deaths as it relates to this pandemic. So it is still raging. So wear your mask. Make sure you're using your hand sanitizer. Make sure you're washing your hands frequently. Make sure you're staying away from large crowds as well as much as possible. And we just want to make sure that we're watching those things as we continue to try to get through this pandemic as a country, you know, as a state and as a region. It's just really, really raging right now. And we just want everyone to be careful. As many of you are aware, this month we transition into Black History Month for the month of February. And we certainly want to make sure that we continue to highlight not only our national and international Black history, but also our local Black history. And for the Black History Spotlight of today, I am going to introduce many of you. Some of you may know this amazing woman. Her name is Mary Lee Hall Bussey. Miss Mary Lee Hall Bussey was born in Georgia to Charlie Washington and Sadie Williams Hall of Hazelhurst, Georgia. That's over near the middle Georgia area, just a little southeast of Macon. She attended Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. Miss Bussey arrived in Columbus, Georgia in 1950 as a jeans supervisor. So those of you who don't know what a jeans supervisor is, in short, that person was basically like a superintendent for the African-American students, because around this time we were still in the middle of segregation. So jeans supervisors served as consultants and assistants to the Black teachers, most of whom had little training. Many of the jeans supervisors were sent to the traditionally Black colleges such as Tuskegee and Hampton Institute and Albany Bible and Training Manual Institute for Teachers in Albany, Georgia, now Albany State University, for in-service training for their jobs. The Jeans Supervisor Program was founded by Annie T. Jeans, a Philadelphia Quaker philanthropist who sought to improve community and school conditions for rural Black Americans. In 1907, Miss Jeans donated $1 million for the creation of the fund to hire Black teachers as supervisors and Black American schools. Miss Bussey was active in the community here in Columbus, Georgia. She was a past worthy matron of Prince Hall affiliated Electric City Chapter number 482. She was also a member of the Order of the Eastern Star and grand lecturer for the Prince Hall Grand Chapter of Eastern Star of Georgia. She was also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, as well as a member of the Lynx Chapter Incorporated. Named in her honor, she established a food and clothing bank at First African Baptist Church. Also named in her honor is a media center of Thomas H. Brewer at Thomas H. Brewer Elementary School in Columbus, Georgia. Miss Mary Lee Hall Bussey is buried in Green Acre Cemetery in Columbus, Georgia. I do want to note that there is a community effort at this time to have Miss Bussey acknowledged by our local Muskogee County School District. That effort is currently being led up by Dr. Judy Purnell and others who would like to see a portrait of Miss Bussey placed in the atrium of the school board district, displayed with the other superintendents, in which I totally agree with that. We certainly need to make sure that history is there and recognized. I do want to thank the Columbus Black History group, the Columbus Black History Facebook page, as well as the Columbus Black History Museum and Archives for making this information available. Mr. Johnny Warner and all the other great people that are currently working with the Columbus Black History Museum and Archives. Miss Bussey is the type of woman that we certainly want to remember in our community and make sure that our children are aware of her contribution, how we had to utilize unique measures to make sure that our children receive the proper education that they deserve here within the school districts and other school districts all over the state of Georgia. So again, her name was Miss Mary Lee Bussey, and she was a grand lecturer as well as a great contributor to many, many, many efforts here in the Columbus, Georgia area. That's our Black History Spotlight for this Sunday, and we plan to bring you other Black History Spotlights throughout the month, as well as speak with individuals that have contributed to local history right here in Columbus, Georgia. At this time, I do want to transition to our guest for today. I'm excited to have a young lady here speaking with us. I recall it was around the time when George Floyd was murdered, and many communities across the country were galvanizing to have a voice, to speak up about the inhumane treatment of him as an individual, but also the treatment of that nature to other African-American men and African-American women by many some of our law enforcement entities. Now, when we have this conversation, we have to be extremely careful. And I say that because, for one thing, I have quite a few friends who work in law enforcement, and I know many of them are there to do a phenomenal job. They do a phenomenal job, and they serve and protect exactly with the oath that they took. However, we would be blind if we didn't acknowledge the fact that we do have challenges right now when it comes to equal justice and the equal treatment of justice throughout our country. And so with that, many of us engaged in this march, and I'll never forget, I was sitting at home one day and I saw a Facebook post from the young lady we're about to speak with. And she said we should have a march here in Columbus to voice our opinion about this topic as well. From there, she partnered with some other great people in our community, like City Councilwoman Toya Tucker and some other great leaders, and they planned this march. And it was one of the most successful marches we've had here in Columbus, Georgia. A lot of people came together in peace and solidarity, and we stood there together to voice our opinion about the treatment that we had seen transpiring across the nation. That young lady is Ms. Shamika Averett, and I am honored to have her on the line with us today. Hello, Shamika. How are you doing?
Hey, Teddy. How you doing?
I am doing great, doing Shamika. Good. I am doing great. You know, considering all, I am doing great. You know, that there's so many families out there that are, you know, struggling right now. You know, this pandemic, not only is it taking a health toll, but it's also taking an economic toll on our community and our region. And so we have to understand and acknowledge that so many folks are just having a tough time, you know. And then there's the entire mental aspect of everything and the depression that's setting in with a lot of folks. And so, you know, this is the time where we need each other the most. This is a time where we need understanding the most, Shamika. This is a time where we need to embrace each other with love, with care, with compassion, with understanding. You know, little petty differences, if we got to throw them on out the door, they're irrelevant right now. They're totally irrelevant because we are experiencing one of the most challenging times of our lives at this very moment. And so, Shamika, that's what make the work that you are doing with other community leaders so amazing throughout our community. I kind of want to go back a little bit to that march, and then we're going to come back to some things that actually happened earlier this week here in Columbus that you were involved in. Going back to that march, what was it that moved you to say that we needed to have a presence here in Columbus, Georgia? With standing, you know, together with people all over the country that were speaking out against, you know, injustices and demanding criminal justice reform.
Yes. I mean, for me, Teddy, I'll be honest with you. Like, I understand grief at the lowest level. You can probably experience it just going through what I went through with my family 5 years ago. And that post basically came from my own pain. My brother would have been I'll be 21 years old, and he was murdered here in Columbus, Eupatoria, Georgia, along with my daughter and my mother. It was a very senseless crime, and I understood, looking at everything on TV that was happening and then looking at what happened to George Floyd, I understood what the world, what our cities, our communities were going through. We were going through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and we wanted a way to express it. I understand that because I deal with it every day. And when I put that post out there, it was just basically to say, I understand what people across this nation are going through when they saw George Floyd lose his life so tragically the way that he did. And I thought about my own brother who never got to, you know, grow up or go to prom or get married. And that grief pushed me to a place of let's do something for our community in a peaceful way. People can come together and, you know, think about what happened with George Floyd, but also think about what's going on in your own life, in your own community, and what we can do to make our own community better at the same time and start a conversation. And I want to believe and still believe even today that we did that because we're still talking about what happened with George Floyd. We're still talking about the march, and the march has led to other things that we're working on behind the scenes as well, because you got to have purpose in everything you do. Purpose leads you to do to make a difference. People say, well, you're just marching. What are you doing after that? Well, after that, we're working on ordinances. After that, we're working with our police department to, you know, make them better because we're not perfect. You know, so that's what we're doing. So the march just catapulted us into being a better community, which I see that in Columbus.
Wow. That's awesome. And thank you for your willingness to share about your personal story. You know, what you experienced, what you went through with your mother and your brother and your daughter. In Eupatoria. And, you know, that's something that I know still stands out in the minds of so many people here in Columbus, in the Columbus area. And now if you look at, you know, Shamika, we ended the month of January with 6 murders. And we've already started February now with 2 murders. And we're not even done with the entire first full week of February. Right. And that's bringing us up to 8. We're on a very dangerous course right now. We're on a very serious course right now, which is going to require unique attempts to try to address this murder problem, this crime problem that we have in our community. We're no longer going to engage or waste any energy of debating anyone on whether or not we have a murder or crime problem. The fact of the matter is we do. We do. So now that we have accepted that, we must now transition into how do we prepare? How do we begin to try to remedy that issue that we have? Now, I know earlier this week, I think, as a matter of fact, Saturday, you met with some community leaders with the event that was organized by One Columbus United. And you guys had an event at Canaan Baptist Church. Tell us about that event. What transpired?
Well, it was a great event. We got together with our police chief, me and city councilwoman, Toya Tucker. I called her and I said, well, we had just had a 26-year-old get murdered here in Columbus. The shootout basically shot his house up, or apartment up, and his mother was actually shot as well. She survived. He died. So I looked on Facebook and I saw yet another young man dead. And so I called Toya and I said, what are you thinking we should do to start this conversation? I said, should we have a march for people come out and talk, create a forum for them to express their concerns? She said, yeah, let's do it. She, you know, sat down with the police chief and said, this is how we want this thing to look. We want you to come. And he was 100% on board. So on Saturday, we basically had sort of like a community forum at Canaan Baptist Church, and I actually want to thank Canaan Baptist Church for allowing us to use their facility to come in, because it actually ended up raining and we had to actually go inside, social distance inside of the family center there. But we had several speakers, And one of those speakers was Sonya Pace. She's with Moms Against Gun Violence. Her son was murdered some years ago, gun violence. Tanya Wheeler, whose son was murdered over off of Forest Road at a Circle K back in September 2019, Dontrell Williams. And we had those mothers stand up and speak about what they had gone through in relation to gun violence and talk about our recent gun violence as well. We also had someone there. We had Sergeant Florence there from the Neighborhood Watch. The main idea of this whole forum was to create a conversation that's going to be an ongoing conversation. Because like you said, there's no question that we have a murder slash gun problem in our tri-city area. There's just no, we can't deny it. Going into that event was another murder. before that morning, around 2 a.m., another young man was murdered, gun violence. So it basically solidified for us that this conversation needs to happen and needs to be ongoing. Our police chief was there, again, in full support. He spoke at the event, and we had several media outlets as well there covering the event. And so from there, we're going to also have another forum, which is going to be on February 27th, along with our sheriff and police chief, talking about gun violence and crime prevention as well. So we're creating a conversation that has to be had, because what we're learning is that we got some turf wars going on here with gangs, and we got some domestic, some of these things were domestic shootings as well, but we definitely have a gang problem in Columbus. We got to just be real about it. And we have to teach our neighbors that we have to step up and not be afraid. If you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. Our DA Mark Jones was there as well. He talked about the difference between snitching and being a witness, you know, kind of broke that down. People are still afraid, though, to come forward. You know, you hear gunshots going off in your neighborhood, and, you know, instead of calling the police, you know, I think Michael Muhammad was saying that he got a message from someone saying that it's gunshots going off in my neighborhood and I'm afraid to call the police.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
Yeah, that should not happen. And it's so wonderful what you guys are putting together. And, you know, my highest level of respect goes out to city councilwoman Toya Tucker. You know, ever since she's taken seat on city council, she was determined that she was going to be a new type of leader. She campaigned on being a new type of leader, and she is living that promise. She's doing things that we're not accustomed to seeing in many of our local communities. A city council member calling a community meeting. When is the last time that happened?
Right.
You know, so I certainly appreciate her and you for giving the community an opportunity to have that outlet to voice their concerns. And that should be the expectation of many of our elected leaders. If you're not engaging the community, if you're not creating a voice or a platform for the people that you represent, what exactly are we doing? And so that's a very valid point, and I thank you for bringing that up. And Shamika, something else that I want to touch on real quick, something that you mentioned earlier that I think oftentimes get lost in the shuffle of these conversations about these murders. I mean, at this point now, you know, we look at them as numbers. You know, we're on number 8 now. You know, and we forget that was a person. We forget that was a living soul. We forget that could have been a father or a brother or an uncle. It was certainly a son, you know, potentially a nephew. We forget about those things. And Shamika, here you are doing this work in the community, and you have walked that journey that many families are about to have to go through with the loss of a loved one, except you lost 3 loved ones at the same time. What does that journey look like for those families, Shamika?
Oh, my God. You know what? I tell people all the time that grief is so fluid. It reminds you of the ocean, you know, when the waves come in. And depending on what's going on with the tide that day, depending on what's going on with your heart that day, depending on what's going on with your depression, your trauma, your PTSD that day, grief can look different. So if the tide is very high, it's going to overwhelm you. And you're going to feel like you're drowning. If your grief is very, very high, your anxiety is very, very high that day, you're going to feel like you can't make it. But when the tide rolls in and the tide is low, you can step on out in the water a little bit more. And you can say, okay, I can do it. I can make it today. So every day is going to be different. And so the ebb and flow of depression, the ebb and flow of anxiety and PTSD and the traumas of life are going to look different every single day. And what I tell people is you have to sit with that grief and deal with it and get up and say, I'm going to be better tomorrow. What can I do to be better tomorrow? And one of the things I know that I try to do is channel it into other things in and around my community, because that's helped me continue to live. And that's helped me continue to go on. So what I told the ladies today that I met for the first time, I met Tanya Weaver today for the first time, I met Tanya Pace, you know, today for the first time, I met Destiny Virgin's mother today for the first time, and her daughter was murdered off Making Road by her boyfriend.
Shot down right there in the middle of the street. Making Road. And Michelle Virgil, yeah. She is so amazing. She is so, I love her to death. She is so phenomenal. And she is another strong woman who has insisted that the story of her daughter be told, and that we face the reality in our community, that we have real challenges. If someone feels comfortable enough of stepping outside of their car on Macon Road, one of the busiest streets that we have, just a couple steps away from the school board headquarters, and pulling out a gun and shooting a young lady down in the street. You know, what have we come to as a society that we can, that those folks even get the inclination that something, a heinous act of that nature is acceptable in our community? That's what that's part of where it starts, Shamika. The message has to be delivered. That's totally unacceptable, and we're not going to be okay with it.
That's right. We have to stand up and stand against it. And she came up to me today and asked me how I was doing. You know,
right.
Because you know, again, people know my story. You know, but I told her, I asked her, I said, "How are you doing?" Because you know, you lost a child in a very, very tragic way, like I did as well. But at the same time, we have to start having these low-level conversations, and they have to start somewhere. People say, well, you're always marching, you always... One of the things I would never forget that, I think his name was Sergeant Graham, he was with Chief Blackman the other day, he said, marches are a form of grief. They're a form of... You can express yourself. When George Floyd died, you think about all the marches that happened across the U.S. and other countries. The whole world was grieving for George Floyd. It wasn't that people were like, oh, let me go tear everything down. That's a form of grief. And it's a way for us to express ourselves. So even today, us just starting this conversation, it's a way for us to express ourselves and say, what's next? What can we do next? We're not going to solve the problem in one day.
That's right.
The people that are doing the shooting, they weren't there today. They weren't there the day to be happy again. They weren't there, you know, a few weeks ago. They're not going to be there. But we have to say, we're going to take back our city. And if it's one community, if it's one block, if it's one city, our city councilwoman, Toya Turner, said, if I got to be the community prevention person, that's what I'll do. If it starts with me, then it'll start with me. And that's the kind of attitude we have to have in our neighborhood.
Absolutely.
We have to say that we're not going to stand for it anymore, because I could end this conversation with you today and on my way home and somebody else get murdered. That's our reality we live in right now. But that still does not stop the conversation.
And we're certainly not going to resolve this sitting on our couches. That is not going to happen. So speaking of what's next, you know, you said what's next. I know you mentioned about a February 27th event. I want you to talk a little bit more about that event, how people can get involved, what to expect. And I also want you to let those listening who may not know exactly what One United Columbus is. One Columbus United. Tell the listeners what that is.
One Columbus United was birthed, really, it came from under the mayor's office. It's actually One Columbus under Bob Portishead some years ago. And what City Councilwoman Toya Tucker did was say, you know, I want to revamp this. I want to pull this out from the mayor's office. I want to make something that's for this city. It's not for her. It's not for me. It's not for, it's for the city. So everything that we do is going to be to bring this city together. Everything that we do is going to be to unify the city, from Macon Road to Veterans Parkway. You know, this is one Columbus United. So when you start seeing events, when you start seeing forums, when you start seeing things happen, it's going to be a collaborative event between One Columbus United and other organizations. So it's going to look totally different than probably what we've seen in recent years, because we're going to be involved with the law enforcement, the mayor's office, the sheriff's department. Everybody's going to come together and interweave together, because that's what we need. We're going to be involving different people from ethnic backgrounds. You know, we're going to be involving Indians, Asians, you know, everybody, because we want it to be an all-inclusive, one-stop shop for information and a one-stop shop for us to all be able to come together. So that's why Small Columbus United, I'm very, very excited about it. Our first big event was this event that we did with the March for the Women Against Gun Violence event we did. So we're moving on from that. So the next thing we're going to be doing is, again, continuing this conversation, because we can't just do something and walk away. So on February 27th at 11:30 a.m., we'll be back at Canaan Baptist Church for a forum. That forum will be basically geared towards crime prevention and gang violence. And what we'll be doing at that time is speaking with our chief, Freddie Blackman, as well. And I want to give some props to him, because when I tell you, he is all about community. I'm floored at the fact that this man is like, however I can help. I mean, he's ready to put law enforcement knocking on doors, saying, how can we help in your community? I mean, that's what he wants to do, and I'm very, very excited about that. It will be limited seating. People will have to RSVP. So as this information comes out, it will be shared on the One Columbus United Facebook page. So I'm encouraging everybody to go on there and like the page and keep abreast on what we're doing. Because, you know, we are still in COVID. We want to do these things. We want to do these things. But we are still in COVID, and we realize that it's a very, very serious thing we're still dealing with. So it will be very, very limited. There will be a live stream as well, so people that aren't there can still watch it on Facebook Live. But this is going to be one of the many things we're going to do as we're getting to the bottom of this issue that we're having with our gang violence and crime in our area. So that's going to be on February 27th, 11:30 a.m., Canaan Baptist Church.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, Shamika, thank you so much for your time today. Shamika, thank you for your passion. You know, the way you speak about these issues, it's very clear that you're on a God-given mission, because there's no way with everything that happened, you know, in your life, that it would be extremely tough to have the wherewithal and the energy and even the desire to be out there in front of so many people fighting for other folks, trying to save folks before it's too late for them, trying to help improve our community. Shamika, you embody what people want to see in an elected official. And I just hope one day I get an opportunity to cast my vote for you, because I would certainly
like
that.
Plug right there, okay.
I would certainly do that, because, you know, when you have people with that passion and that drive, you know, you're not going to get that from a speech. You're not going to get that because you've been knowing them for years. You have to see their actions, and you have to monitor what they're doing. And you are doing the work, Shamika. Shamika Avery, everybody, I'm keep saying your name. You are doing the work. I want people
to
know
your name. I will tell you this really quick, though. We have to, our community, we have to care about how it looks as well. Even aside from the things that are going on, we have to care about our community. We are going to be doing a citywide community cleanup, and that's going to be on March 6th from 9 a.m. to 1. Again, I'm going to say it again. Please go on the One Columbus United Facebook page and like it and keep up with what's going on as well. But I just want to throw that in there before we. And yes, and also go into the Facebook group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, once again, everyone, this has been Miss Shamika Averett, such a beautiful young lady with an amazing story, and one that God has placed upon her He never puts more on us than we can bear, and he knew that she could bear this and take her truth and her light into the community to help improve everything for us here in Columbus, Georgia. I want to thank you guys for listening. I look forward to speaking with you again next Sunday when we bring back the community spotlight for our Black History Month acknowledgement, and we will have more conversations in regards to our community. Take care.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.